Very blessed. Good morning to you in the name of the Lord. Since today is Mother's Day, I would like to take this opportunity to wish all mothers here and grandmothers here a very blessed Mother's Day to you. I've entitled my message, Mother. What is a mother? A mother is many roles in one. Okay. When we were younger, when we were kids, our mother was our life giver, our sustainer, our provider. She's also our cook. Sometimes the children call her, my mother is a cooker. She's also our doctor and our nurse. She's also our detective when we want to find things. Sometimes we misplace them, and the first person we go to is our mommy. Mommy, where are my shoes? Mommy, where are my socks? Mommy, where are my this and where are my that? Okay. And sometimes when the dad is out of town on business, the mother becomes the father in the home. She becomes the disciplinarian. Okay. She teaches us, she counsels us. She's also the one that sacrifices the most for us. So it's time to treasure our mother. The origin of Mother's Day actually goes as far back as the ancient Greek and Roman times, where the Greek and the Romans, they believe in many gods and goddesses, and also they honor the mother god. So they have this special Mother Day. I don't know how they celebrate it. The early Christians also celebrated some sort of Mother Days on the fourth Sunday of Lent in honor of the Virgin Mary, the earthly mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. And also in the United Kingdom, sometime in the 1600s, a Mothering Sunday was also celebrated. However, the celebration of the present or the modern Mother's Day actually is a recent phenomenon. Started by a very determined young lady called Anna Jarvis. She wanted to pay tribute to her mother and all other mothers of the world. So today, millions of people all over the world celebrate Mother's Day to honor their mothers, to thank them for their efforts in giving them life, raising them, and being their constant supporter and well-wishers. So they take their mothers out for meals, buy them gifts, send them flowers, buy them chocolates, etc., and so send them cards and messages, telling them how much the mothers mean to them, how much they love the mother. And I pray for us as Christians, we are not only love our mother on Mother's Day, but every day of our life, because there's only one mother we have. We can never have another mother. Okay? That's why sometimes we hear this joke, okay, about a man going on a tour with his wife and his mother, and the ship sank. Both the mother and the wife can't swim. So who is the man going to save? Many of them will say, save the mother, because you can always marry another wife. The mother is the only one you have. If she's drowned, she's gone forever. Okay? I don't know what we are going to do, right, when we meet that situation. Okay, I think the best is all three of us drown together. Then we can go to heaven, you know. Okay? Right? Otherwise, you save the mother, you let the wife drown, you feel very guilty, right? You save the wife and let the mother drown, you also feel guilty, right? If you drown yourself, then you don't know whether they are drowned or not, you also feel guilty. So the best is all of us drown together, hold hands, and let's all go to the grave. You know, and then we all can go back to heaven together. Okay. Well, that's a joke. Now, the Bible has many, many mothers. Okay. Some mothers are named, some are nameless, like Noah's wife. Noah's wife, the mother of Shem, Ham, and Jephthah, has no name. And also Lot's wife has no name. Well, some of the names we know very well, like Sarah, Abraham's wife, okay? Rebecca, Eve, and so on. Okay? And they have many lessons to teach us, okay? Even though they lived long ago. Okay? But before we go further, let's pray, shall we, and commit this time to the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, our hearts are thankful today for granting us life. Thank you for good health and sound mind. Thank you for safe journey to thy house where we can worship thee. Thank thee for the freedom of worship. Thank thee for this house that thou hast given to thy people. And thank you, Lord, for touching our hearts to come to thy house to worship thee. As we come into thy holy presence, may thou so steer our hearts, remove every distraction from our midst, take away the anxiety, the busyness of life, the worries, every hindrance, Lord, that will hinder us from worshiping thee. May thy blessed spirit so loose our spirit that we may have this liberty to worship thee in spirit, in truth, in the beauty of holiness. Once again, cleanse us from all our sins in the blood of Christ. Roll upon us the righteousness of thy only begotten Son, in whom thou art well pleased, for we have no righteousness of our own. Let our worship of thee this morning may be a sweet savour to thy nostril. Bless us, Lord. Help thy worthy servant as she shares thy word, that thou will be gracious and merciful unto him. Cleanse him from all his sins. Cover him in the blood in thy righteousness, and use him for thy own honour and glory. Lord, we pray for the preaching and hearing of thy precious word, that thou be gracious and merciful to bless thy words to our hearts, that we may grow in grace in knowledge of the Lord. We thank you. We pray us all this in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen. Right, we come to look at the many mothers in the Bible. Okay. First, of course, there is our first mother, the original mother, Eve, okay, was created by God out of a bone of Adam, and she was the first mother to sin. Okay, very sad. And remember telling my children long time ago when they were in primary school, okay, about how sin came into the world, and they all would say, "What if Eve did not eat the forbidden fruit? How nice that would be, you know." I say, yeah, history would not be the same, you know. Mankind would not be the same. There would be no problem. Well, as it is, God knows what he's doing. He created woman, and Eve sinned against the Lord by disobeying the Lord. Okay? And I believe she was the first mother to bury her son. Okay? Remember Cain killed Abel, because he was very angry with him. And I believe Eve and Adam, okay, had this first heartache of losing a son through the hand of another son. Okay. So it must have been a great sorrow and grief to her. Okay. We don't know how she experienced, because there was nobody around to comfort her. Okay. Today, if you lose a son, a daughter, there are many friends, church people to comfort you. Okay? You can draw strength from that. But she was alone at that time. Then we have Rebecca, the mother of Esau and Jacob. Okay? And this mother was not really a very good mother, because she taught Esau how to deceive the dad. So most probably, Jacob learned the bad things from the mother. In fact, he was actually afraid, you know, right, to go along with the plan. Okay? But the mother said, "Don't worry, I take all the responsibility." Okay? Although maybe she wanted Jacob to have the blessings. Okay? But whatever it is, it's never right to do something right, you know, okay? Or something wrong to make the result right. Okay? So she told her son, let me handle this. Okay? Well, we read in the Bible, okay? Genesis 27, okay? How she put wool over the son's hand so that the son would appear hairy and so on. And because Isaac's eyes were dim, he couldn't see, could only feel and smell, okay? And he was deceived. Okay? The lesson is, mothers, don't teach your children to cheat. Okay? Right. Don't use your children to go against a dad. So it tells us that in a family, if there is favoritism, okay, they'll be bound to have trouble. But we are human. Okay? We normally have a favorite son or a favorite daughter, right? Okay? My family knows, okay, that my second son is my favorite. Okay? Because they see me giving him much more than what I gave to the others. I tell them, he's the only one that is not as smart as the three of you, you know. The three of you can survive. Okay? You're smart enough. But he's not. He's a bit weak. Okay? So I try to encourage him. Okay? And they know that he's my favorite. Okay? And every time they say, yeah, you always cite your son. You always cite this one, you know. Okay? You never cite us. Okay? So try not to have favorites in the family. Try. Sometimes you fail. Okay? But if they know who's a favorite, sometimes it can cause friction or division in the family, which is bad. Okay? A family should be harmonious. It should be united. See? Right. So Rebecca thought Jacob the wrong thing, and Jacob actually grew up to be a schemer, right? His name is already a supplanter, a cheat, a deceiver, okay? And when he wrestled with God, God wanted him to own up who he is, okay? What is your name? So he has to confess, my name is Jacob, a deceiver, a cheat. So God had to change that name to become a prince, Israel. Then we have Jochebed, the mother of Aaron, Miriam, and Moses. You can find the story in Exodus 2, and also for the background, Numbers 26, verse 59. She's the only mother that I know, I think we all know, okay, who's paid wages to look after the son, to bring up the son, to train the son. And she's the mother who loved the son, who went against the king's commandment. Okay? A mother's love will go beyond the extreme to keep you alive. Okay? She'll do anything at the risk of her own life even. Okay? That's how great a mother love is. And we ought to always remember, okay, next to God's love, a mother's love is the greatest. And here, she defied the king's order. Okay? Not to kill the baby boy. Look after him until such time that she could not hide him any longer. Okay? Put him in a little basket, send him out the river now. She knew exactly the time when Pharaoh's daughter would come to take a bath. Okay? She's very shrewd. Okay? So she must, you know, have sat down and watched, okay, and knew when Pharaoh's daughter would come to the river to take a bath. Okay. And so she found her son. Okay. And Miriam, the sister, ran up to her and said, hey, I can find a nanny for this little baby of yours. You want? She said, of course, you can. This nanny to look after him, I'll pay you wages. But what does it teach us? It teaches us that, hey, husbands, let's give wages to our wife. We don't pay our wife or bring up our children, right? I don't think so, any one of us. Okay? I'm not asking you to pull out your hand, you know, you pay your wife monthly allowance to take care of the children. I don't think. But we can pay them compliments. Okay? Hey, I think it's high time that we husband remove our shamefulness. I think Asians are very shy, they're very shameful, they don't dare to show their affection. Okay? I think we should, you know, just hug our wife, tell her we love her. Okay? Sometimes we say, hey, you're very mushy, you know. We don't do that, you know. I think we should, okay, to show to our children that we love their mommy. Okay? That we don't take their mommy for granted. Thank our wife for the meals she prepared for us. Thank our wife for the way she brought up our children when we were not home most of the time. Okay? Thank her for the things she did for the household. Okay? There are so many ways and means we can show our appreciation to our wife and let our children see our love for their mommy. Okay? Pay compliments to her. Say thank you, you know, and so on. Okay? She was paid wages. And then we have the Hannah, the mother of Samuel, who prayed for a son, got a son from God, and returned the son to serve the Lord. Okay? Here it teaches us that our children are not ours to own. They are from the Lord. Don't be so protective of your children and make plans for them. Just commit them to God and say, God, what is your plan for the children that you put in my hands? Okay? Let me be your partner. Okay? Let me be sensitive to the guidance and leading of the Spirit of God for the lives of each child that you have put in my hand. Okay? Pray for them, encourage them. Okay? Don't say, I want you to be a doctor. I want you to be a lawyer. I want you to be this. I want you to be that. You know, I got a friend who's a teacher. He has three sons. He told me one time, he said, I told my sons, don't any one of you become a teacher. If you become a teacher, don't call me father. Wow. He's a teacher. He must have seen what teaching is like, you know. He doesn't want his son to suffer. And true enough, today, one son is a doctor, one son is an engineer, one son is an accountant, but the daughter is a teacher. He didn't tell the daughter, don't be a teacher, he told the son only. Okay. I don't see what's wrong being a teacher. It must be tough for him to be a teacher. So he didn't want his sons to be a teacher. Okay. And the son listened to him, well, none of them is a teacher. Now, we are not to tell our children what they should do or should not do, you know. We should tell them to seek the Lord's will for their own lives. Our children maybe have ambition to become doctors, engineers, lawyers, and so on. Maybe God has something different for them. And if God calls them, don't dissuade them from following God's call. Maybe one day one of your sons will come to you and say, Mommy, God has called me to be a missionary. Please don't faint. What? I raised you up to become a missionary. You know what a life of missionary is like, and so on and so forth. And we call ourselves Christians. And we want our children to love God and to serve God. And when God called them to be a missionary, to serve Him, we get disappointed. You know, sometimes, maybe because of our culture, okay? Especially, you know, when New Year days come along, when you meet with your relatives and all that, and everybody start talking about their children, how successful they have been, and so on and so forth. You know? And you dare not say, my son is a missionary. My son is serving God, you know, because you think, compared to them, your son is a failure. But God doesn't measure success like the world. Okay? God told Joshua, you want success? Meditate on my word day and night. And don't depart from the commandments of my word. There's success. Then you will have success. Okay? But for us, we always think that our children, to be successful, they must be somebody earning big fat pay and so on. Okay? Give them to the Lord. He's the Lord who gives us children. Okay? So Hannah shows she's not going to keep Samuel. She weaned him, and when such a time arrived, she brought him back to Eli and said, this is the son that I've been praying for. Now I lend him unto the Lord. Okay? And Samuel grew up to be a prophet, a judge, a priest, and so on. Okay. Then we have the widow of Zarephath, okay, found in 1 Kings chapter 17, when Elijah first came on the scene and told Ahab, there shall be no rain until I say so. Okay. And so he had to go to this Zarephath of Zidon. God told him, I prepared a widow there to look after you, take care of you. There was no rain for 3 years. And because of the drought, most probably all the crops died. And Elijah met this woman. She was actually gathering sticks to prepare the last meal for herself and for her son. Elijah said, give me some water to drink and also make me a little cake. She told Elijah, the little flour that we have is just enough for me and my son to eat, and then we are waiting for death to come. Elijah said, don't worry. You make the cake. You give it to me first. Okay? And she believed. Okay? She trusted the man of God. Okay? Mothers, trust your pastors. Trust the elders of the church if they are following God. Believe them when they tell you. Okay? Don't say, not sure. You know? Don't have this doubt in you. When your pastor come and give you advice, when you seek advice, okay? Don't say, oh, I know already. Oh, the world said this, you know. Okay? Don't follow the world. The world has nothing to give us. They give us wrong advice. They lead us in the wrong way. Okay? Man of God has the word of God to guide us. Believe them. She believed and she gave. And the Bible tells us that the flour never ran out. The oil never ran dry. Okay? So it is in giving that we receive. Don't be calculative with God. You know, you give to God, God will give you back 10 times, 100 times, million times. Okay? You can never outgive God. God gave his son to you. What else won't he give you? Romans 8:32. He gave you his son, the best. What else do you think God will not give you if he had given you your best? But have we given our best to God? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. Okay? Have I given my best to you, God? Okay? If not, then let's give our best to God. Okay? Here's my son, Lord. He's my treasure, but I give him to you. Then we come to different kinds of mother. Okay? Mothers, first one, idolatrous mother. Okay? Found in Judges chapter 17, verse 1 to 4. This mother had some money, silver. The son took it from her, stole. In fact, I think stole. Yeah? But the son returned her, and she went to smelt it, the silver, and make a graven image. And worship. Maybe you have idols. Maybe it is not visible. Okay? But maybe some mothers here worship their sons and their daughters. Okay? Make them become your idol. Wow, my son is so smart. There's nothing he cannot do. My daughter is so brilliant, and so on. Okay? So whatever they want, you give in to them. You put them so high as if they have become your God. Okay? So mothers, don't worship your children too much. Thank God for them. Okay? Guide them. Tell them not to think so highly of themselves. Tell them to be humble. Okay. Then we have a cruel mother and a grandmother. This lady is Athaliah, okay, found in 2 Kings chapter 11. Okay. She wanted power. She was power mad. When she heard her son has been killed, she went to kill all her grandchildren so that she could seize the throne and rule over Israel. Okay? She was actually power mad, power hungry. Okay? Don't be so dominating, you know, okay, that you put everybody down. Okay? Maybe you are very assertive person. You can become very aggressive sometimes. Okay? I want to do this my way. When other people tell you, no, this is my way and this is how it ought to be done. Okay? Sometimes we are very stubborn. Okay? Some others are like that. Sometimes the children tell them, they say, no, I want to do this way, you must obey me. Okay? Commit your life to God. He will guide you. He will show you what you need to know. Okay? And then, of course, just now we read in Proverbs 31, verse 10 to verse 31, here is a super mom. Sometimes the people wonder whether this is a collection of mothers rolled into one or one mother alone. This woman, this mother of Proverbs 31 is really super, right, if you read her life. She gets up very early in the morning, right? She's a businesswoman, she's very smart, you know. She knows what to make and what to sell. Okay? She takes care of a household and so on. Okay? That's why her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, you know. Husband, if you have such a wife, you are a real blessed man. And if you are a super mom, thank God for the grace He has given you to do all these things and accomplish them. And yet the Bible says what? Okay? Beauty is deceitful. But the woman who loves the Lord, okay, she shall be honored. A woman who loves God, God will bless her. Okay? You may not have the talents that this super mom has, you know? But I believe God has given every mother certain talents. She can cook, she can wash the house, she can keep the house clean, she can sew buttons, you know, she knows where to find things and so on and so forth. She even knows what her children want sometimes, what the children needs, what they love, and so on. Okay. You have all these gifts from God. Use it, right, for God's honor and glory. Okay. Then you have joyful mother, okay, as found in Psalm 113, verse 9. God maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Barren woman to keep house and be a joyful mother of children. See, with God, nothing is impossible. Just trust. Remember Sarah? When God said, you're going to have a son, she laughed. My husband is already so old. I am so old, you know. We are beyond the age of childbearing. And God said, is there anything too hard for me to do? Okay. No. And when Abraham was 100 years old, he got the son that God promised him. So nothing is too hard for God. So if you want a child, maybe if you are just married, ask God, pray to God, and in God's perfect timing, He'll make you a joyful mother. Okay? When you have your first son or first daughter in your hand, I tell you, the feelings that you have is indescribable. You cannot describe it. It's joy unspeakable. You know? When my first son came along, I still remember, it was 9:15 p.m. I was actually laying some planks across some drains, you know, so that we can walk over the drains. Okay? And my wife called out and said, "Hey, you got a son, wow." I just cannot express that feeling that a son, finally, I'm a dad, you know. Yeah, have you had this feeling? I'm a dad, you know, wow. Okay? This little guy, I'm going to teach him the word of God. I'm going to train him in the way of the Lord and so on. Okay? How wonderful that feeling is. Okay? So pray if you want a child. Ask God, like Hannah did. Okay? She was barren. She was made fun of. She asked the Lord, and she did not ask the Lord just for the child. She was very specific. I want a male child. And I'll lend it back to you. And God gave her Samuel. Okay? Pray. Ask great things from God. Expect great things from God. Pray that your son may be the next pastor of New Life, Woodlands. Why not? You know? Be ambitious for God. And that comes to one mother who's very ambitious. It's ambitious if it's for the Lord, it's good. You know? But she was ambitious for her sons. James and John's mother asked Jesus for greatness of her son. Make my son to sit on your right hand one and on your left hand one. Well, you know, it's as if we've got brilliant children. Maybe we think they can serve Singapore. Go up to maybe Mr. Lee Hsien Loong and say, "Hey, you're looking for leaders, right? Take my son. Make him a finance minister. Take this one. Make him minister of transport." Our transport is in a mess, right? The MRT always break down one. You make my son minister, I guarantee you the train won't break down. It will always run on time, you know, and so on. Be ambitious for the Lord, yes, but not be ambitious for your children and want great things for them. Remember Jeremiah told Baruch, "Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not." Okay? Because you'll be disappointed. Okay? Seek God for their lives. Pray that they may know God at an early age so that their lives will not be ruined by sin. Okay? Pray that their will be conform to God's will, in line with God's will. Okay. Pray for them. Pray for our children. Be ambitious for the Lord for them. You know, right. Don't pray, "God, make my son the next Prime Minister of Singapore. God, make my son a famous lawyer." Okay. Yes, maybe they can become the next minister. Okay. But are you prepared to accept that? Because once they are in the limelight, your life will be totally changed. Maybe you cannot go market as you like, you know? Yeah. You may have a few bodyguards around you and you feel so uncomfortable. There's no more freedom. Okay? You have exchanged all this for your son. Is it worth it? Okay? But if you commit them to the Lord, you know the Lord will take care of them. You can rest in the Lord. Because the Lord always keeps His word, keeps His promises, and He will never disappoint us. Okay? Be ambitious for your children, for the Lord. Okay? So what is the next mother? The next mother is a prayerful mother. Okay? It's always the hope of every pastor that all the mothers in the church will be prayerful. Because prayer is taking hold of God and the power of God, okay? And calling God down, you know, and bringing to God the desire God puts in our heart. When Peter was released from prison, he just kept on walking, and finally he arrived at John Mark's mother's house, Mary. And they were all having a prayer meeting there. How nice if all the mothers can come for prayer meetings. Pray for the church. Pray for the leaders of the church. Pray for the children of the church. Pray for the work of the church. Pray for the lost ones in our midst, who are outside the kingdom of God. They were praying for Peter's release, most probably. And yet when Peter stood in front of them, they couldn't believe it. You know, believe God when you pray. Trust God. Your prayers will be answered. So what's our duty towards our mother? If your mother is still alive, okay, this is what you ought to do. You ought to honor her. Like we read just now in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, honor your father and your mother. Exodus 20, verse 12 says the same thing, although not as long. Sorry for giving you that long verse. You know, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged. Ephesians 6, 2, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that your life may be long on earth. Okay? So if you have parents, sorry, if you have mothers, honor them. Not just today, but every day of their life. You see them, mother, you're the greatest. Mom, you're the best. You know, mom, you're this, you're that. Yeah. Just praise her. Then obey her. Sometimes, which is quite difficult as we grow up, you know. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18 and 19. Obey your mother. Sometimes we think we'd rather obey our dad than our mom. But when our dad is not around, if you don't obey your mom, then how? There's no more law in the house, you know. You become lawless. As we grow up, as our parents grow old, sometimes we begin to think that, hey, now my mother is a nagger. She nags. I believe all the young people say that, you know, because my son said that to my wife. If you haven't tell your mom, Mom, don't nag lah. If you never say that, praise the Lord. You're a good son, a good daughter. But I think maybe 99% of you say, Mom, please don't nag. Don't nag, Mom, don't nag. Why? Your mom said, have you studied for your exam? She's concerned for you, you know. Sometimes your mother said, I'm concerned for you. And you say, yeah, I know, but please don't nag. We all say that, right? Your mom loves you. She wants you to do the best. She reminds you. She's emphasizing. To her, she's not nagging. To us, she's nagging. You know? Have you seen the YouTube of this father and son sitting on a bench when the sparrow flew down and the father said, what is that, son? The son said, there's a bird. After a while, the father said, what's that, son? That's a bird. He began to get irritated. The father asked him the third time. He said, that's a sparrow. Then he asked him again. Then he said, S-P-A-R-R-O-W, sparrow, sparrow, bird. Then the father said, son, go inside. Open the cupboard, take a book out. So he went in, he took the book out. The father, that was a father's diary actually, a journal. He kept that. He said, son, turn to the page. So he turned. Read. It was when the son was a very young boy. The young boy asked the father, what is that? The father said, that's a bird. Then he asked him again, "What is that?" The father said, "That's a bird." And the father said, "You asked me 22 times, what is that? And 22 times I tell you, it is a bird. And every time I tell you it is a bird, I hug you." Hey, when your parents grow old, remember, sometimes they forget. Okay? Just as you forget when you were very much younger, and your parents never lose their patience. So children, don't lose patience with your mother when she's old. She may forget things, you know. Be patient with her. Take your time. Let her take her time. Don't say, "Hurry, hurry, hurry." What's the hurry? Okay? You mean you want to go and bring her out to a restaurant for meals? You think if you don't get there in time, there will be no meals left? As long as you got money to pay, don't worry. The meals will always be there. She may be slow in putting on her shoes, you know. She may be slow in walking down the stairs and so on. Don't just ask her to hurry. Go and help her. She's in a wheelchair. Push that wheelchair, you know. If you want to hurry, carry her then. Walk down to the car. Okay? Don't just use your mouth, you know. Be kind to her. Obey her. Then you need to protect her. Genesis 32 verse 11. Protect her from all manner of harm and danger. Protect her from the aggressive people. Okay? If you go with her to the market, protect her from those people who will bully her. Okay? Yeah, sometimes these hawkers, they take advantage. They think, they look at your mother, they think can charge her more, you know. Yeah, you protect her. Defend her right. Okay? Don't just keep quiet. And let the hawkers bully her, charge her more, and so on. Okay? She protected you when you were young. She took care of you when you were young. Now it's your turn to take care of her. Protect her. Then provide for her. John 19, 25 to 27, when the Lord Jesus was hanging on the cross, he still remembered his mother. And he told his mother, he couldn't take care of her anymore. "Behold thy son." He was referring to John, the beloved disciple. And he told John, "Behold thy mother." He committed his mother into his beloved disciple's hands. And John took her that moment. Okay? Maybe John called her mother. Yeah. In honor of the Lord. Provide for her. Don't send her to the old folks' home, you know. A lot of us think, "I don't have time to look after my mother." Old folks' home, there are nurses there, there are caregivers there, and so on. All these are excuses, you know. She took care of us when we were sick, right? She never left us. Maybe she nursed us back to health. I know old-fashioned mothers don't like to go to the hospital. They never send you to the hospital and let the nurses take care of you. She personally took care of you day and night, sat by your bed, you know, watch over you, make sure that you are well enough to eat and so on. Okay? So when she's old, don't throw her aside and say, "Now you are useless. Now you can't do anything for me. You can't help me to look after my children." Okay? I send you to the old folks' home. That's the best place for you to go. Okay? You know how heartbroken she will be? Maybe she won't say it out, but she'll say, "My son doesn't love me anymore. My son doesn't care for me anymore. I'm not her mother. I'm not his mother anymore. You know, I'm just a useless old person to him." Okay? Give her the best in her sunset years. Make her enjoy life. Make her enjoy her grandchildren, her children. Okay? Don't brush her off. Okay? If you dishonor your mother, what will it bring? First, it brings shame. Proverbs 19, verse 26. Okay? He will bring shame to you, shame to the family if you dishonor your parent. So please, adults, or maybe teenagers, don't call your mother my old woman. Don't call your dad my old man. That's disrespect, you know. Sometimes your friends may come to your house and say, where's your mother? Oh, my old woman is not at home. Hey, don't ever do that to your mom. If she should ever hear that, you know, it'll break her heart. What old woman? Any old woman, you know? To her, even on the street, any old woman can be your mother, that means. Okay? I'm your mother. I gave birth to you. I raised you up. Okay? So don't bring shame to her, to yourself, to the home, to the family, okay, by dishonoring her. And then it will bring darkness. Proverbs 20:20. Darkness means you can't see, you don't understand. Okay? If you dishonor your mother, you don't know what life is all about. Because in your mother, you see life. She's the one that gives you life. Okay? If you can't see life, then you don't know what life is about. You are living in darkness. It is the same as the Word of God. Okay? If you don't want to see the Word of God, you'll be forever walking in darkness. Because Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall never walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Are you walking in darkness? Are you rejecting the word of God? When God says, come unto me, you say, no, I don't want. There are lots of sacrifices if I come to you. Okay? I have to do a lot of things I don't want. I want to have my freedom. Okay? Don't walk in darkness. Don't dishonor your mom. And then, worst thing, it will bring destruction. Proverbs 28:24. You will be destroyed. It will bring dishonor to your mom. Okay? That's what the Bible says in the Old Testament. It is actually punishable by death if you disobey your mother. Leviticus 20, verse 9. Okay? So what do we owe our mother? Now you know how precious your mother is. You think you don't owe her anything? After all, now I'm working every month, I give her $300. I've been giving her $300 for years. I think I don't owe her anything now. Is that true? No. Somebody wrote this, you know. This is what he wrote. I owe you my time. For you gave me constantly day and night. I owe you my example. You live a life that was consistent and dependable. I owe you my support because you always were there encouraging and challenging me. I owe you humor because it was perfectly quick and lifting the moment. Mothers also have humor. Don't think just because they are uneducated, they are humorless. Have you ever sit down with your mother and your mother crack a joke and you see her laughing away, sometimes without her teeth, grinning sometimes, you know? Laugh with her even if you can't catch the joke. Yeah. Maybe she joke with you in Hokkien or Teochew, you know? Because some of the terms they use, it has meaning. But we don't speak Teochew, we don't speak Hokkien, you know? Sometimes we miss the joke. She laugh. Laugh with her. Make her happy. As if you got the joke, you know? Right? Humor her. I owe you my counsel. Because it was so wise and enriching. Okay? Mothers always never tell us to do the wrong things, right? They always give us wise counsel. I owe you my hospitality because your home and your table were always smiling and warm. True, isn't it? Every time you come home from school, your mother greets you, embraces you, cooks for you, you know, make sure you have a nice meal. I owe you my insight because your thoughts were so keen and sharp and honest. I owe you my flexibility because your life was always patient and joyful. I owe you sacrifices, the countless times you gave of yourself that were so quickly forgotten. I owe you my faith because your relation to the Lord was so sound and so sure. Thank God you have Christian mothers whose trust in God is so steadfast that nothing can move her. I thank God for your hope, or I thank you for your hope, because you always radiated ceaseless and indestructible confidence. Your mother will always believe you, you know, whatever you do. Because she said, you can do it, son. You can do it, daughter. Yes. I owe you my love because it was so devoted and deep. Nothing beats a mother's love except for the love of God. Okay? So this is what we ought to do. Tell our mother today, I owe you everything, my life, my all. Even my children, for without you, there'll be no me. If there's no me, there's no children, you know. Thank her. Be grateful to her. Show her your love, not only on Mother's Day, but every day of your life. Because one day soon, our mother will be gone. I miss my mother. She passed away 5 years ago. I still remember her. The thing that I miss most was her cooking. She was a great cook, you know, wonderful cook. She sold me a shirt that I can still wear, you know, 54 years ago. Wow. And I told my wife, when I die, I'm going to bury it in that coat that my mother made for me, which I think I will shrink, you know, when you grow old, right? I think I will shrink, and I can fit into that shirt, and I would like to wear the shirt. It may be 65 years, I don't know. It's still wearable, you know, that shirt. Yeah. How wonderful her hands that make the shirt for me. It's still hanging in my wardrobe. Okay. Have you got something that you can remember your mother by? Cherish it. And if your mother is alive, go and tell her, Mom, I love you. I love you. And husbands, go and tell your wife, I love you. Okay? Yeah, make your wife happy. A happy wife is a happy home. A happy home, you know, you have peace, you have security, you will want to come back to this home. And where God is, there's always a happy home. So if you're not a child of God, please come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Especially if you are a mother. Because if you are a Christian mother, you don't know what you can do for God. You can get power from God. You can pray for your children. So come and put your trust in Jesus. So to all mothers, have a wonderful Mother's Day. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, our hearts are thankful to thee for giving us wonderful mothers. Pray for all the wonderful mothers of this church, that thou will watch over them, bless them in all their labors of love for thee, especially those mothers who are serving thee in the ministry. Thank you for mothers that sacrifice for their children, and pray that the children will appreciate their parents, their mothers especially. Help them, Lord, to love their mothers. Help them to take care of their mothers, protect their mothers, provide for their mothers, obey their mothers, respect their mothers, so that they will not be destroyed or they will not walk in darkness. They will not bring shame to thee, to them. Lord, we just commit all this into your hands. We pray that thou be gracious and merciful to hear our prayers and answer our prayers. not for our sake, but for the sake of thy Son who loved us and gave himself for us, in whose name we pray and ask and give thanks. Amen. Thank you.